Welcome to Ginspired, brought to you by theginshop.ca. This podcast will take you on a journey into the world of gin, where you'll experience this versatile spirit in ways you never thought possible. Now the host of Ginspired, Heather E. Wilson.
Hello and welcome to Ginspired, where we talk about and celebrate everything about the wonderful juniper-laced spirit called gin. And on today's episode, I welcome back my friend Carl Richards, and we are going to talk about martinis. Yes, today is the martini episode. History, ingredients, dirty, wet, shaken, stirred. What does it all mean? Welcome, Carl.
Thank you. Why am I here again? Martinis. Hello. I know the shaken, not stirred thing because I've watched enough James Bond to know that. Are we going to cover that?
Yeah, absolutely. We are.
Okay.
We are. And normally we are going to diverge from our normal beginning. Normally we share what we are drinking, but we are not going to do that today because we are going to learn about martinis. And by the end of the show, we'll be having martinis.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Deal, right?
Well, it's been a long time since I've had a martini, and full disclosure, I didn't like them. Mind you, I was in my 20s. So maybe that's why. I don't know.
I would say most 20-year-olds would not like a martini. I definitely did not. I absolutely did not like a martini in my 20s. In fact, it took until probably my mid-30s, even early to mid-30s, before I rediscovered them. And I'll tell you the story, if you got a moment here.
Yeah.
Is I was actually out to dinner with a big group of ladies. You know how that happens. We all go out for dinner. And one of the ladies down the line on the table ordered a beverage that came in this martini glass. And I was like, oh my God, what is that? It looked so good. And it was actually a Cosmopolitan, which is a riff off of a martini. It's not a martini. It was considered a girly martini, right, at the time. And I just had to have one. And it was brilliant. It was amazing. It was so good. I was like, where have these been all my life? It was literally pure alcohol with like two drops of cranberry juice in it, but it was so good. And so after that, I started experimenting and started, and well, if I can handle this, I can handle a real martini and I can do this and I can do that. And so it all started with a Cosmopolitan and basically looking at someone else and serious FOMO happening. Fear of missing out, right?
But you said that the Cosmo is a fake or
it is
girl martini then.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute about where all these different things come. But I think what we need to do first is discuss.
Do we need to go back in time?
We do. We need to go back in time because no one really knows where martinis came from.
Really?
Yes, there are three theories.
Okay.
Quite fascinating. Okay. So it's been up for debate for ages and there are people on all sides and you'll have diehards who believe one thing versus another, but really there is nobody knows. Nobody truly knows. Okay. So there's those that believe that Martini is simply named after the vermouth brand, right? Martini and Rosa.
Okay.
Maybe they stole the name. Maybe that was their last name. Who knows? Right. So then there's those that point fingers at a bartender, Martini di Armagh di Taggia. There's a mouthful, I tell you. He was from the Knickerbocker Hotel, and that's a fun name to say, Knickerbocker Hotel, in New York. And so many people thought that he made the drink, okay? But then there are those who believe the folktale of a Mr. Martinez. So rumor has it that during the gold rush in a small mining town of Martinez, California, a fellow struck it rich. And he went to his local watering hole to celebrate his riches, but they were out of champagne. Imagine being out of champagne. So he couldn't celebrate. So the bartender, he whipped him up this weird concoction of gin, vermouth, bitters, and maraschino cherry liqueur.
Oh,
okay. Like, right. He called it the Martinez special.
Okay.
Okay. And so he published it. It was published in a really famous drink manual called Jerry Thomas's 1962 manual, The Bartender's Guide. And the story goes that the miner stopped by Thomas's bar and Thomas invented the Martinez special. Okay. But no one's ever proven the story. And it's not even what a martini is nowadays.
I was just going to say, there's nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Maraschino cherry.
Yeah. So originally, like back in the 1920s and when martinis were kind of the rage, a lot did have maraschino cherry liqueur in it and some did have bitters in it. However, that is long gone. Nobody drinks maraschino. I mean, the odd one in the fancy bars. Yes, you go to New York or you go big places, they will put it in. And that's just a different version of a martini now. Okay. But a true martini, true martini in today's world, is gin and vermouth. Then we have add-ons. We have add-ons like olives and little onions and lemon twists, and that's garnishes. So we'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
But a true martini is gin and vermouth. Now, in the 1980s, vodka tried to steal the martini, and people are having and were having vodka martinis all over the place. Yeah, no. Gin has always been the martini alcohol, and a vodka martini is just a spinoff of it.
So any reason why, in your estimation or in any of your research or experience, why vodka tried to hone in this territory? Because it's
absolutely
okay.
So what was happening? Okay, so in the 80s, vodka kind of came up. Vodka's been around for a really long time. It's not like it's a brand new invention or anything.
Yeah.
But the marketing gurus of vodka found out that the people of the time, particularly women, didn't actually like the taste of alcohol. Okay. So they made something that basically tasted like nothing and then would add juices to it, hence the cosmopolitan. Okay. So it was vodka with a splash of cranberry, basically a stronger version of vodka and cranberry stuck in a martini glass with a few other things. There's lime juice and triple sec and other things. So they sweetened it up to cover the taste of the alcohol. And it was a whole 80s, 90s thing where people were making these really fancy cocktails to not taste the alcohol, which is crazy.
Well, considering that gin has its own characteristics, right? As I'm learning from this podcast, also from the cookbook. And this is some of this is in the cookbook
this
too,
is,
right?
All this story, we have a full martini primer in the cookbook. Yeah.
Nice.
So it's going to really help people understand what makes a good martini, how to order a martini, why it should be gin and not vodka, all these kind of things. Now, I'm not going to say you don't have a vodka martini, but it will taste completely different because it's basically just rubbing alcohol. Like, it's pure alcohol. There's no flavor to vodka. So
yeah, vodka takes the flavor of whatever it's mixed with, right? So if you mix it with orange juice, it's taking the flavor of that.
Exactly. So if you're just drinking a vodka martini, there's no flavor.
You're drinking liquid air.
Basically. Well, pure alcohol.
Pure alcohol, yeah.
So
yeah.
That brings home a point that the gin you choose for your martini should be really good, like really high quality, because you're going to be tasting the botanicals in that gin.
So bottom shelf gin, not suitable for martini.
Well, people do, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not the best. So you want to pick a gin you really like. Like, for example, you know, your Empress gin could make an epic martini if you knew how to make it right.
I will after this episode. I'll let you know how it goes after this episode.
However, I wouldn't be adding olives, right?
Okay. So what would you...
Okay. Right.
Okay. So do you want to talk about the add-ons or do you want to talk about shaken, not stirred first?
Yeah, let's talk about that first.
Okay. That's my understanding too, is the whole, I have to admit, I'm a James Bond fanatic. So, and I understand shaken, not stirred. Like, I've heard that I don't know how many times, right? So what is the difference between shaken or stirred?
There's a big difference, believe it or not.
Okay.
A really big difference. And true diehard martini drinkers stir. They do not shake. And so James Bond, he was making a statement at that time saying he was different. People didn't shake. It was actually a really big thing in the martini world that James Bond is shaken, not stirred, because when you shake a martini. Okay, so a true martini, we're talking gin and vermouth, right? And you put ice in it because there's never ice in the drink itself. It's always a chilled glass and you put ice in your shaker, right? Then you put your gin and your vermouth, depending on your quantities, which we'll get to in a second. If you shake it, what happens is you are bruising the gin. Now, crazy. I had to look this up too, because I was talking to a bartender here and I'm like, what? How on earth can you bruise gin? Right? It makes no sense. Well, what happens is it releases the botanicals too soon. If you shake it, if you bruise your gin, the botanical flavors are released too soon. So that when you, it almost like expires, so that when you go to have a really nice drink of it, you've lost some of the flavor. Now, have you lost it all? No. If you shake it, is it the end of the world? No. However, if you want a true experience, you get one of those really tall bar spoons that you've seen, I'm sure, and you give her a good, good stir, 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 versus shaking the crap out of it actually destroys a lot of the flavor.
That is wild. I would never have thought that. But again, I'm wondering if just James Bond was into bruising and bashing and destroying. Yeah, if it was,
it's
just
a statement, right?
Yeah.
It's a statement. So James Bond was technically violent, fairly violent, you know? And so that's why. And he was in a hurry. So shake, 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 drink, gone. Right?
Oh, because he's not actually sipping and enjoying it.
Exactly. Now, I don't I'm not a James Bond, you know, expert by any means, but I do know that a martini is meant to be sipped and savored, not chugged back, you know, or whiffed back there, you know.
It's not a shooter.
It's not a shooter. And, okay, so let's talk about the glass for a second. The reason it's in a stemmed glass is because the glass is supposed to be ice cold and your drink is ice cold, but no ice. As soon as your hand touches that glass, even if you have freezing cold hands like I often do, you warm up your drink. And so these new fandangled stemless martini glasses, you don't use them. They're ruining your martini. You need like a real, you need a stem.
So you need to be able to sip it without changing the temperature of what's in the glass. Okay.
Right. And interesting. The reason it's such wide across the top, a martini glass is quite wide compared to say a champagne glass, right? Like they're all different, is because your nose is part of the experience and you breathe in when you take a sip, you're getting all sorts of wonderful aromas from your gin botanicals.
Oh, okay.
See, it's pretty interesting, right?
Like, I'm learning all kinds of stuff. Can we hurry up? I have to get to the liquor store to get some gin to try all this out.
So now we come to the dry.
So we're going to talk about, what is it? Dry, wet, dirty, perfect. We're just going to break that down one at a time.
Yeah. Well, there's dry, wet, dirty, classic, perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does that all mean? Just
the classic and perfect are sometimes the same, but
okay.
So it all relates to the amount of vermouth in the martini. 100%. Okay.
Okay.
Well, dirty also has a little bit of the olive part to it, but the dry, the wet, classic, perfect, that is 100% to do with vermouth. Okay. So when someone says, I want a martini dry or extra dry, it basically means they just want a whiff of vermouth. Like I've literally seen people come with where they put like two drops of vermouth in their chilled martini glass, give her a good swirl and chuck the vermouth. Like it's just a bare covering. So you are having chilled gin in a glass ultimately.
Really?
With just a hint, because vermouth is really strong taste.
Okay.
And it can just, and if you have too much, it can overpower your gin. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So then a wet martini is a lot more vermouth. It's heavy on the vermouth. Okay. So you got dry, no vermouth, or very little vermouth. There still has to be some vermouth. Otherwise, you're just drinking straight up gin, right?
Gin. So and what's wrong with that, Heather? Is there a problem with that?
Well, you can have a vermouth atomizer where you just give a little spritz, you know, right?
Really?
Yeah. And that's
okay.
That's a really fun way to do it too. I like that.
Okay.
I think that's a really fun way to do it. But yeah, so then the wet is a lot of vermouth, and the quantities are you an ounce and a half kind of drinker, or are you a 2 ouncer, right? Like It just means usually heavier on the vermouth than the gin. Okay.
So there's no magical, okay, it's going to be an ounce of, you know, or 2 ounces of gin and an ounce of vermouth. There's no magical formula. It's all based on your palate.
It's well,
or
yeah.
Is there a suggested?
It's equal. So you have, it's also called, you know, could be a 50-50 martini, which is 50% gin, 50% vermouth, which is also, there's a reverse martini or an upside down martini, which is more vermouth than gin, which is not so good in my opinion. And then the perfect martini is the perfect ratio of dry vermouth and sweet vermouth. Okay. So that's a perfect martini. It's okay. Two kinds of vermouth and gin. So that gets kind of crazy right there. Right.
Yeah.
And then the dirty martini, which is a very, very common one, is where they throw a splash of olive brine in. And it could be, here's where it gets really crazy. You could have a dry, dirty martini, right?
Or okay.
Or a wet, dirty martini, or it gets all crazy right there. So figure out whether you like vermouth or not. And go from there is my recommendation.
So for example, then if you're doing, because I've heard of an extra dirty martini, it's just more olive juice or olive brine?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
And that, like, I love olives personally. So I'll throw a little olive brine into mine and I could eat like a bowl full of olives. Just
okay.
Soak my olives in gin and I'm happy, right?
So, and here's a question about the olive. Is it a green olive or is it a Kalamata olive? What kind of olive is going in there?
Normally it's the green, a version of a green. I've never, can honestly say that I have never seen a black olive or a Kalamata or any of those other fancy kinds in a martini. However, I have seen, I don't know if you've seen their like really, I don't know the fancy names of them, those really big cocktail olives. And they sometimes are stuffed with like pimentos and garlic and like all different things. So those are quite good in it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Gosh, quite good.
Now here's the other thing. You want to have a good cocktail stick to put your olives on. You don't want just any old stick.
Is a cocktail fork or stick or whatever they call it. Okay. Yeah, and was there a specific composition it should be? Should it be metal? Should it be plastic? Should it be glass? What's the, is there a
plastic is usually bad.
Okay.
So plastic can ruin, well, like anything, it can ruin the flavor, right? So personally, I would recommend either glass, if you can get it, or stainless steel, something that's not going to impact flavor. Now, if you use a wooden one, it's better than plastic, but the wooden ones can leave a taste.
Yeah.
Like it can really be a little, I mean, do you like the taste of wood? I don't know. Maybe you do. In which case, it's fine.
Well, I guess, would it depend on the type of wood? There's a question. Would it depend, like if it's, I mean, thinking of, I'm a Scotch drinker, right? So would it be like if it's oak or something that where the flavor, I'm just thinking out loud here.
Potentially. If there's any, okay, but here, are you going to start making your own cocktail picks? Because I'd never...
No.
You know, like you can start carving your own oak cocktail picks because they don't actually specify the wood when you buy a cocktail pick. Usually they're bamboo for most, I would say, but.
Right. Yeah.
That's getting a little crazy there.
That's getting, pretty
martinis
exotic.
Martinis are a little crazy, but it's not that crazy. Okay. So then that brings us to garnishing though. So technically an olive is a garnish, but a garnish is really important with a cocktail, not just martinis, but all cocktails, because not only does it make it look pretty, but it can impact the flavor. So if you put, let's say, one olive on a cocktail pick and put it in your dry martini versus four olives, definitely going to be a difference. Also, the big one is a twist of lemon. So like, for example, Larry prefers twist of lemon when in a very dry martini. I like a dry martini, but with some olives and a twist of lemon, because I just love them both and I can't decide.
So put them all together. So
I just put them all together. I was like, this is the best drink ever. And you can have people put cucumbers, like there's all different things. And then that actually can change the name of your martini. It can actually change the name of the martini by putting cucumber. I've seen, you know, you float a cucumber round with a crack of black pepper. It's got
really?
Yes.
Yeah. What do they call it?
Now you're putting me on the spot. I can't remember. Everybody calls it different. Like it depends on the bartender, but I have seen it. It could be a cucumber martini for all I know. I do see them out a lot and each bartender is different. There's probably an official name, but I just completely blank on that one.
So it could be a cutini, but
I doubt it. Okay. So yeah. So that again brings us to spin-offs, right?
Okay. Right.
So we have a real martini, which is gin and vermouth with whatever garnish you so choose. Okay. Mm-hmm. In a martini glass. Bottom line, straight up, that's how it is. Preferably stirred, not shaken.
And with a stem. Don't cheap out and not get a stem. Cheap, yeah. Don't try and be modern day and say, oh, well, everyone's drinking stemless now.
Yeah.
Get the stem.
For your wine, maybe go stemless. For a martini or a cocktail, I would never. But okay. So then nowadays you hear breakfast martinis and chocolate martinis and crantinis and apple teenies and bellinis and anything with an eeny at the end is people think is a martini, but they're not. They're cocktails.
Okay.
And so today's kind of now understanding is if it's mostly alcohol and it's in a martini glass, it must be a martini. Right?
That's like saying, well, if I put red wine in a martini glass, it's a martini. No, it's red wine in a martini glass.
Exactly.
So if you're putting a cocktail in a martini glass, by all intents and purposes, it's still a cocktail.
Exactly. Now, that's not to say that all these other drinks don't exist, because they do, and you can order them in bars and pubs everywhere. But for the diehards, they get very offended when you call, a breakfast martini a breakfast martini, when really it's, gin and orange juice.
Is that what it is? It's gin and orange?
Basically.
With a little splash of vermouth or what?
No, there's no vermouth in it. And so that's the thing.
Okay.
If there's no vermouth in it, it's not a martini. So yeah, like a breakfast martini is very tasty. Don't get me wrong. There's all sorts of iterations of it. But it's basically gin and juice.
That somebody just decided to say, I'm going to call that a martini.
Yeah. And they put it in a martini glass and they're heavier on the gin. See, as long as the big thing is it has to be mostly alcohol. It has to be mostly gin. So the juice that you put in it is a whiff, a smidge, right? It doesn't change the color too much. Might make it a little cloudy. That's about it.
Yeah. So because a traditional, I'm going by memory of what my parents would drink, would be probably a shot, ounce and a half or 2 ounces of gin in a tumbler with orange juice or a highball or whatever they call it. Yeah. And ice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is different, but still for all intents and purposes,
it's
gin and juice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So when somebody says they're having a martini, are they really? Are they really?
And now that you've listened to this episode, you can call them out on it and say, no, you're not. Heather says it's not a martini. Yeah, she told me what a martini was.
That's right. And so now, see, this is why at the beginning we weren't sharing our beverages, because now you can go and make a real martini.
I'm going to have to, because you just, all of a sudden you made it taste good. I'm thinking that martini I had when I was 20 probably had your typical bottom shelf bar rail run of the mill. I don't know enough about vermouth. I actually know I have vermouth.
Ooh, good.
So I have vermouth.
Okay.
I have Empress gin. I'm probably not going to have, you said no to olives.
Yeah, I would use a lemon twist, because Empress specifically has the citrus notes. So I would use who's listening can see, but I actually have a twist of lemon in mine. And so you just give a nice little twist of lemon and do that. Now, for you in particular, I would definitely go light on the vermouth. Don't do a one-to-one, because it's the vermouth that, in my experience, has turned people off martinis. Is too strong, too much of vermouth. So try with a little teeny bit of vermouth. Then if you like, oh, maybe I can do a little more, then add a little more. You need to experiment. This is not a one-time try it and like it or not kind of deal. This is an experimentation. Okay.
Okay, I'm game. So don't go 50-50.
Mm-mm.
Maybe not even 25-75. Do like a little...
I wouldn't even go that much.
No?
Nope. Okay. So let's say you're having a 2 ounce martini, which is kind of small, but let's say you are. Okay.
Can we make it 3 ounces?
Yes.
I'm a big boy now.
That's kind of normal, right? So 3 ounces. Okay. So you would put pretty close to 3 ounces of gin in your shaker that you're not going to shake, but with your ice, right?
Okay.
And then I would take even like an eyedropper or something tiny, even like just coat the bottom of your shot glass or something. Like you're not even measuring it. Okay. Maybe like half a teaspoon.
Say like eighth of a teaspoon or something. Yeah, very small.
Just start with that. Just start with that. Give her a nice stir. Taste test. Okay, I need a little more. Give her a little more. If you started at even a quarter of an ounce, you're going to find it's probably too much for you.
Okay, I'll let you know how the science experiment goes.
Yeah, and then, but there are a lot of people who love vermouth, so don't get me wrong. There are people who do 50-50. There's people that do the reverse and have like more vermouth than gin. I am not one of them, but that's the great thing is you can 100% customize it to your own liking.
I love this. I'm loving this already. You said you have a whole chapter or a whole section in the cookbook about this.
We do. We have it's called the Martini Primer. Goes through the history, goes through some of the stuff we just talked about, shaken versus stirred versus all that. And we also have the real martini recipe. So if you want for probably a drier martini, but you can adjust it, you know, as I would say. So I know like martinis can be really intimidating, right? Like going into a restaurant and you're like, oh, I would love to feel so elegant and I'd love to have a martini, you know, but I have no idea how to order one.
You can spell martini. That's about it.
Yeah, exactly. So just try. For everyone who's either never had a martini or has had one and they thought they didn't like them, I would suggest starting with a dry martini with a twist of lemon. Just start with that. And then if you love olives, add a little brine, add a couple olives, depending on the gin, and then go from there and just experiment and try. Just like ordering a coffee at Starbucks or somewhere, you know, you got to figure out what you like.
And the worst that'll happen is you might not like it.
You'll have to send it to Heather.
And she will not say no.
Probably not.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I have to let you go because I have to go make a gin martini.
You do. Well, thank you so much, Carl. You know, I love talking about this stuff.
Like, yeah, this is good. This is good fun. Thanks.
Pretty much talk all day. So anyway, and there you have it. You know, a martini primer, everything you wanted to know and didn't want to know about the martini and more and how to order one. And how to make me one when you come visit me someday.
I will do that. I promise.
Thank you, Carl, so much for being here today. And thank you for listening. Be sure to check out the show notes for a link to the cookbook and the ginshop.ca for all your gin clothing and novelty needs. And until next time, remember, happiness is finding 2 olives in your martini when you're hungry.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Ginspired, brought to you by theginshop.ca. If we've ginspired you, drop us a note, heather@theginshop.ca. We may even read your email or feature your ginspirational story in an upcoming episode. And remember to follow us on social media. Until next time, let the party be gin.